Hell and Ready, who died at the age of 78 to start the hour, and Angie Baby from the mid-1970s, and Brian Eno and David Byrne, and Life is Long. That's 8:15, the full English breakfast show. Beat me up, Scotty, here's something else from the future. Amazon has announced a new payment system for real-world shops, which uses a simple wave of the hand.
That could be dangerous, couldn't it?
Its new Amazon One scanner registers an image of the user's palm, letting them pay by hovering their hand in mid-air for about a second. Now, the product will be trialled at two of Amazon's physical stores in Seattle, but the company says it's in active discussions with several potential customers about rolling it out to other shops in the future. Stick your hand up.
I know, you'd look a bit silly, wouldn't you?
In most retail environments, Amazon One could become an alternative payment or loyalty card option with a device at the checkout counter next to a traditional point-of-sale system. Amazon also said the system could be used for entering a location like a stadium or scanning yourself into work instead of using an ID card. We believe Amazon One has broad applications beyond our retail stores, it said. Palm scanners are not a brand new technology, and there are already some commercially available solutions. Palm-based identification is based on capturing the vein patterns of the palm, which is unique to each person. These patterns are different for each finger and for each person, and as they are hidden underneath the skin's surface, forgery is extremely difficult. Experts say the level of security is roughly similar to a fingerprint scan, but could be used at a distance of a few inches, making it much more practical. Amazing, really, isn't it? It is just out of Star Trek.
Well, yeah, it's quite scary.
Hold your hand open up and it opens the door. Zzzz. Exactly.
Beam you up.
Thank you very much. 16 minutes past eight.
And now it's time for Woofer of the Week on 106.5 Riviera Radio.
Good morning to you. Well, today's woofer is a corker. Asco is his name, and he's a sweet boy looking for a forever dog basket. He's a Labrador Newfoundland mix. He's got a black coat and the most beautiful eyes. He's 8 years young. And the great thing about senior dogs is what you see is what you get. They are much calmer and easier going than the puppy variety. They enjoy life in the slow lane and they just want a lovely place to call home, preferably with a garden for this one. He is currently at the SOS Chien Âgé in Saint-Vallier, that's above Grasse. And they are open to the public by appointment in the mornings or from 2 to 5 for visitors and donations in the afternoon. They never open on Sunday or public holidays. And you can contact them on 06-36-88-5731 to find out more about him.
That was Woofer of the Week. For more details about this week's woofer, go to the 106.5 Riviera Radio page on Facebook or our website at rivieraradio.mc. Woofer of the Week on 106.5 Woofiera Radio.
Is it quite easy again this morning?
You will definitely get the first question. I've made the first question really easy.
Well, it's so simple even I know it.
Yes.
Okay.
No, you know a lot, believe it or not. Question number one. It was on this day in 1967 that the UK's first national pop radio station, BBC Radio 1, was launched in the UK to take over from the very successful pirate radio stations, which had been forced off air by the government. Former pirate DJ Tony Blackburn...
Actually, so can I just make a correction there? Because Radio Caroline wasn't forced off air, it carried on.
OK, yeah. Well, thank you. Anyway, Tony Blackburn, who went to BBC Radio 1.
Sensational.
He was the first presenter on air. What was the song
Flowers
that he
in
played?
The Rain.
By
The Move.
Correct.
Because he said it was happening, man,
yes,
when we interviewed him earlier this year.
On this day in 1978, John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John had their second UK number one from the film Grease with which song?
Summer Loving.
Well, I'll give it to you, but that wasn't actually the title of the song.
Well.
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah, what was it called? Wasn't Summer Loving, it was Summer...
Summer Nights.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry.
And finally, on this day in 1995, Mariah Carey made chart history when she started an 8-week run at number one on the US single charts with which song, making her the first female act to enter the chart in pole position.
Hero, is it?
No, and she's just released
yes,
new memoirs. Yeah.
Yes, I'm afraid I don't know then.
You don't know?
No.
Fantasy.
Fantasy.
Fantasy, yes.
Right.
And if you're interested, today is International World School Milk Day. In the US, it's Ask a Stupid Question Day, as well as National Love People Day.
Oh.
And in the UK, it's Wool Week, but it's been cancelled due to COVID. The right. Shetland Wool Week 2020.
Can you be sort of National Love Day and ask a stupid question at the same time?
You do that every day, don't you?
Oh, dear. What have I done to deserve this?
How long have you got?
It's about 10 o'clock.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Morning.
Good morning.
You're a liar. You're a liar.
I was going to say, it's a bit rude to start the interview in that way. Yeah, it was an interesting debate, wasn't it? Some has described it as the worst in history, certainly a poor display of democracy.
Car crash.
Chaotic in many ways, characterised by personal insults, interruptions. We saw the two candidates clashing, of course, on the handling of the coronavirus, tax and families. Joe Biden calling the president a clown, telling him to shut up, was not sort of rhetoric you'd normally expect in this type of event. I guess for investors, the biggest concern continues to be the risk of a contested election. President Trump once again questioned the ballot procedures, saying the election was rigged and likely, I think, to lead to heightened volatility in financial markets as we get closer to the date.
Yes, I think the general consensus is it hasn't really done anything to the polls.
Yeah, I don't think we've seen a significant change. People could barely understand or hear what the candidates were saying. So, yeah, I'm not sure it's really altered President Trump's chance of being re-elected. We know, of course, that Joe Biden has many polling advantages at the moment, but as you say, a lot can change over the course of a campaign. But with the heightened possibility of ballot disputes, delayed results, legal challenges, just remember, both parties have now already filed dozens of lawsuits alleging voter suppression, fraud, or rigged elections. Coupled with that deeply polarised electorate and the prospects of weeks of uncertainty, there are risks that could undermine the whole 2020 election process, its results, and possibly even stain the presidency. So it's going to be an interesting few weeks, as you say.
Yes, I normally like to listen to a bit of music on the way to work, but I listened to that on the way to work this morning and I kind of nearly drove off the road when Biden told him to shut up.
I saw Hillary Clinton saying that she would have liked to have done so. So, yeah, not the only one there. Listen, I think some key dates to think about in terms of the electoral process may serve as a deadline for those disputes. The Electoral College delegation are scheduled to meet, I think, on the 14th of December, deliver the official results by the 23rd of December so that Congress can ratify the vote on the 6th of January next year. The terms of the president and the vice president, of course, expire on the 20th of January 2021. Absent of an extraordinary situation, you have to assume those dates will remain the key markers as we go through this election season.
I'm pretty sure that Biden's handlers will be a bit less than pleased because, I mean, the thing that Trump tries to do whenever he debates with anybody, if you can call it that, is try to rattle them. And he's certainly got under his skin a couple of times.
Takes it down and dirty, doesn't he? Gets it into a street fight. And there were times it looked like Joe Biden was tempted to join in with that. Although I think if you listen to some of the commentators, they did suggest that Joe Biden was effective when he spoke directly to the camera to try to get his message across, whereas President Trump very much focused on looking at his opponent or looking at the moderator. So as you say, I don't think it was a dramatic change there. If anyone, I think the American people probably lost yesterday.
Yeah, I don't think Chris Wallace, the moderator, will be asked to do another debate because he kind of lost control of it a bit, didn't he?
Absolutely struggle. It'll be interesting to see how the next debates play out and see the different approach coming through from that. But as you say, it wasn't exactly joyful watching.
So there's some mechanism when they're given 2 minutes to speak, you know, without interruption, and then they interrupt each other. There should be some mechanism, like a glass cage comes down and sort of it mutes them for the rest of the 2 minutes.
I think you should be the next moderator with some new rules put in place. That would be good. I would enjoy watching that.
Don't think it would last 5 minutes. Okay, markets. Investors not terribly impressed by the presidential debates. And, of course, in Washington, the waiting game of a new coronavirus aid package is continuing.
Yeah, I think exactly right. The end of month rebound in global equities certainly losing some momentum yesterday as investors did digest that raucous presidential debate, along with the prospects of a scaled back second fiscal stimulus package in the United States. And of course, the surging pandemic figures. Virus data obviously continues to be an important component of sentiment. Authorities are still struggling to contain the coronavirus 10 months after it emerged. Grim milestones in the past couple of days, as we saw deaths passing the 1 million mark, infection cases now standing at 33 million, European cities are registering spikes, although I think France was slightly better yesterday, wasn't it? But also some disturbing figures emanating from New York, all playing out in terms of markets. Losses in terms of financial markets, very much driven in the financials and in the energy sectors yesterday, as investors pricing the prospect for faltering recovery under the weight of tighter restrictions. S&P 500 closed down 0.5%. NASDAQ was down 0.29%. We are looking at a weaker start on the European bourses this morning, where we're currently calling FTSE down 20 points. DAX over in Frankfurt down 57 points. CAC 40 in Paris down 20 points.
Are you surprised the markets didn't take more notice of the US consumer confidence numbers, which are looking a lot better?
They were looking an awful lot better. US consumer confidence rebounded in September by the most in more than 17 years as Americans grew more upbeat about the outlook for the economy and the labour market. Though sentiment, we should remember, still remains below that pre-pandemic level. Data also displayed jumps in the gauge for current conditions and short-term outlook. Consumers also expressed greater optimism about short-term financial prospects, which may help keep spending from slowing further in the months ahead. Respondents indicated they're more likely to make big purchases in the months ahead. Those planning to buy a car increased to 11.8% from 10.1%. More people intend to buy a home as well. And also the share of survey respondents who said they expect their incomes to increase rose to a six-month high of 17.5%, although that's down from 22.7% who said so in February before, of course, the pandemic. But we should remember the increase in infection rates, the absence of fiscal relief for the millions of unemployed who have been furloughed or struggling could certainly weigh on future confidence and start to infringe upon what has been that solid recovery in retail sales in the United States.
It was Tuesday yesterday, wasn't it?
It was Tuesday yesterday.
So you weren't here again. That's the second Tuesday in a row that you've been AWOL. Is this, you know, a pattern of things to come?
No, I had another work commitment yesterday that made me unavailable for selection, but I don't think it's a sign of something to come. But maybe it would be quite nice to avoid you on a Tuesday. You tend to be a little bit more narky on a Tuesday. Monday, you sort of come out the blocks aggressive. Tuesday, you're a bit more depressing. So maybe it's not a bad strategy.
Really? I don't, you know, don't mind Tuesdays these days.
Okay.
Deflation in Germany. This is, could be a sign of things to come across the Western world.
Yeah, German price deflation is putting further pressure on policymakers trying to stimulate growth. Heard that, of course, before. Germany's inflation rate fell below zero as the pandemic curtailed demand and to the case for more monetary stimulus from the ECB. Consumer prices climbed 0.4% in September. That's the steepest pace in more than 5 years. Europe's largest economy is suffering from a double blow of tepid consumption and the sales tax cut the government introduced earlier this year in an effort to try and bolster the economy. That drop exceeded forecasts and also follows a report showing consumer prices in Spain slid for a sixth straight month. You say it's part of a broader perspective that we're seeing across Europe. The expectation is that euro area might see inflation coming at 0.2% when the data is released on Friday. Sorry, minus 0.2%. According to the European Central Bank's own forecast, inflation is unlikely to reach its target of just under 2% for the foreseeable future, with a stronger euro, as we know, also an additional burden. Economists expect the European Central Bank to boost that 1.35 trillion euro emergency bond buying programme later this year. That's most likely to come in December when the new forecasts become available.
Foreign exchanges pound under a bit of pressure after Boris Johnson's internal market bill went through the House of Commons last night.
Yeah, the passage of that bill wasn't as dramatic as some had suggested in the run-up to the vote. So got that through, but still lots of debate around what's happening with Brexit. Appears to be some brighter tones coming through about the prospects for a deal. So we wait to see how those developments play out in this crucial week for that. But pound against dollar this morning coming in 128.5. Euro dollar coming in at 117. You know, just over 1 euro 9 cents for your British pound this morning.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Yep, you too. Speak to you in the morning. Hank Potts from Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyster has the top stories across the Riviera.
300 scientists have denounced the French government's disproportionate measures against COVID-19. In a column published on Monday on the Mediapart site, nearly 300 scientists, doctors and academics have criticised the latest restrictions decided by the French government against COVID-19 and their dramatic side effects, calling for an urgent change to the health strategy. On September the 23rd, the Minister of Health announced the closure of bars, restaurants and gyms in the Aix-Marseille, based on data of the circulation of the virus. For Dr. Fouché at the Hôpital de la Conception in Marseille, COVID-19 only masks the failures of the hospital system, adding that the situation is not new and the pressure on hospitals is linked to an underinvestment in public hospitals over the last 15 years to promote the private sector. Dr. Fouché concluded that the reality is that there was one death from the COVID-19 in Marseille this weekend and 27 in the whole of France. While there are on an average 1,700 deaths per day in France, 450 deaths from heart disease, 430 from cancer, 27 suicides and 11 road accidents. Meanwhile, there is speculation that due to the surging number of COVID-19 cases, the French capital may be heading for maximum alert, following in the footsteps of Marseille and Aix-en-Provence, with total bar and restaurant closures. COVID-19 infections in Paris are already 2.5 times the national average and exceed the government's own maximum alert threshold of more than 250 cases per 100,000 inhabitants. COVID-19 patients in Paris hospitals now account for more than 30% of intensive care beds, another threshold the government says qualifies an area for maximum alert. The Union for Sport and Fitness Centres has attacked the prefect's decision to close establishments in the Alt-Maritime due to COVID-19 at the Nice Administrative Court. The hearing will take place today at the court in Nice, with gym owners requesting that the decision to close sport and fitness centres be overturned. Vice President of the France Active Union, Guillaume Scroll, says that the owners of gyms have made significant efforts in line with health measures required and, according to him, are not proven places of the spread of the virus. If the request is accepted, gyms in the Alt-Maritime could remain open. Two new positive cases for COVID-19 have been reported in the Principality, bringing the total number of residents affected by the coronavirus to 214. Three people were discharged from the Princess Grace Hospital on Tuesday evening, with eight patients still being cared for, including five residents. 28 people are currently being followed by the Home Monitoring Centre. Meanwhile, a new fully digital nuclear medicine department has been inaugurated at the Princess Grace Hospital here in Monaco. The investment, totalling €8.2 million, was supported by the Monaco government, but also by private donations paid by the Tabor Foundation to the Foundation des Amis of the Princess Grace Hospital. In other news, the stretch of motorway between Saint-Laurent-du-Var and Cagnes-sur-Mer in the Alt-Maritime is the road section where the most motorists are flashed for speeding in France. Hundreds of drivers are caught up on this section of the A8 motorway just before exit 48 Vence-Cagnes-sur-Mer, with the radar flashing over 205,000 times last year, or 23 times an hour, which is a national record. It was in 2018 that the speed limit in the area was reduced from 110 to 90 kilometres an hour. To mark the 160th anniversary of the Union of Nice with France, the City Council has revisited the history of the event through a Panini sticker album. Normally used to collect and trade your favourite footballers or Disney superheroes, the sticker albums will this time show historical themes and local traditions. The albums will be distributed to 30,000 nursery and primary school students in Nice. The Panini Group was founded in Italy 60 years ago, and the sticker album is a familiar part of childhood. In national news, France's Minister of the Interior, Gérald Darmanin, has written to the prefects in France asking that they systematically escort foreigners having committed serious offences or representing a serious threat to public order. The letter comes 4 days after the attack perpetrated by a Pakistani national in front of the former premises of Charlie Hebdo. British MPs have approved on Tuesday a controversial text by Boris Johnson's government which proposes to partially reverse the Brexit agreement signed at the end of 2019 by the United Kingdom and the European Union. This bill, which comes a few weeks before the end of the transition period on December the 31st, angered Europeans in the midst of negotiations. This internal market bill was approved in the evening in third reading by the deputies by 340 for and 256 against, paving the way for its consideration by the Lords in the weeks to come. Finally, Meteo France have warned of storms affecting France at the end of this week. They say that a first depression will reach the northwest of the country from Thursday night to Friday, causing strong gale winds towards Brittany and the Pays de Loire. Heavy rain is expected in many areas, including the Côte d'Azur during Friday. The weekend may also see high winds and rain, with thunderstorms still possible in some areas.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
That's something to look forward to then.
Yes.
Tennis, Novak Djokovic made short work in reaching the second round of the French Open in Paris, dropping only five games along the way in a straight sets demolition of Mikael Jiménez of Sweden. There were also first round wins for Stefanos Tsitsipas and Andrei Rublev. In the women's event, the second seed Karolina Pliskova survived a first round scare against Maya Sharif before coming through in three sets 6-7, 6-2, 6-4. There were also first round wins for the fourth seed Sofia Kenin and the 29th seed Sloane Stephens. That's quite bad weather at Roland Garros yesterday. Lots of matches weren't able to be completed. Football, there was one fourth round tie in the League Cup in England last night. Here are the details from BBC Sports if we must.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Paul Serres at the BBC Sports Centre. Tottenham beat Chelsea 5-4 on penalties to qualify for the quarterfinals of the Football League Cup. The game finished 1-1 after 90 minutes, with summer signing Timo Werner scoring his first goal for the Blues before Eric Lamella's late equaliser forced penalties at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Here's the Chelsea boss, Frank Lampard.
The first half was as much controlled as you can probably have a game of football. A couple of little moments, but played really well. And I think second half, Tottenham sort of broke our game up a little bit, went longer, more direct. Our passing came off it slightly, and conceded a goal we're not happy with, but... A lot of positives in the performance, and when it goes to penalties, anything can happen. Yeah.
The Tottenham goalkeeping coach, Nuno Santos, has been fined more than $10,000 and banned from the touchline for one match for improper conduct during Spurs' 1-1 draw with Newcastle on Sunday. Santos was sent off for his reaction to Newcastle being awarded a penalty by the video assistant referee after a controversial handball decision. Callum Wilson scored from the spot in the 97th minute, his equaliser being Newcastle's only shot on target during the game. The former Premier League defender Matthew Upson has told the BBC that an apology on social media from Fulham's vice chairman for Monday's 3-0 defeat to Aston Villa wasn't helpful. Khan has promised to sign new players before the transfer deadline on October the 5th.
It's the better effort bit for me at the end that is never a positive sign coming out of the club so early on. It's not something that's going to help the atmosphere and the mood in the squad, let's put it that way. And whether or not it's true or not is a debate, and it's something that, you know, everyone's entitled to their opinion. But I just feel that at this moment in time, it's not a great thing for them to have to hear.
Manchester City have confirmed the signing of Ruben Dias from Portuguese giants Benfica for a fee of around $84 million. Dias has signed a six-year deal with City, with Argentina international centre-back Nicolas Otamendi moving in the opposite direction. And Liverpool's summer signing Thiago has tested positive for coronavirus and is self-isolating at home. Thiago joined the Premier League champions for a fee of just over $25 million from Bayern Munich. And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
He was robbed.
Dear, oh dear, what about the verbal blows between the two managers?
We was robbed.
I don't know.
Sacked the manager. Had to be Spurs, didn't it? Four more ties tonight. Newport County play Newcastle. Burnley host Manchester City. Brighton play Manchester United. And Everton play West Ham. Formula One, Mick Schumacher will be one of three Ferrari Academy drivers who will be given Formula One race weekend debuts over the coming weeks. Schumacher, the son of seven-time world champion Michael Schumacher, will drive in first practice at the Eifel Grand Prix at the Nürburgring. The 21-year-old German will drive an Alfa Romeo. He's currently in first place in the Formula 2 championship. And in rugby union, there was one game in the Gallagher Premiership in England last night. Sale with 34-14 winners at Northampton. There was potentially bad news for England coach Eddie Jones, though, with both Manu Tuilagi and Courtney Laws going off injured. Laws suffered an ankle injury in the 8th minute, while Tuilagi went off with an Achilles problem on 12 minutes.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster Yachts. beyond expectation.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Isle Maritime in the VAR, the general situation is a depression 1,013 millibars over the Tyrrhenian Sea. And winds are variable, force 1 to 3. The sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,016 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, showery, force 3 to 5 southwesterly winds, slight to moderate seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are westerly, force 2 to 4. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,015 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, cloudy, force 3 to 5 westerly winds, slight to moderate seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster yachts, beyond expectation.
Riviera Radio, weather.
Mainly fine, light variable winds, temperatures 21 or 22 degrees today. Overnight lows 15 degrees on the coast, 9 degrees inland with clear skies. Thursday and Friday, sunshine and showers tomorrow. Rain and thunderstorms on Friday with highs of 19 to 21 degrees. And finally,
do you know a nincompoop from a wally? Well, apparently they are part of a list of words that mean nothing to under 30s and leave them completely baffled. If you tell a drunk youngster they're sozzled and get a puzzled look, then refrain from calling them a wally or a nincompoop. They probably wouldn't have a clue what any of those words mean. In fact, they might think that you're talking balderdash, except they probably wouldn't call it that either.
That's sign language.
A recent study has shown that around 40% of those aged 18 to 30 did not know what sozzled meant. Wally was not known by 36% of young people.
Where's Wally?
Well, nincompoop fell outside the vocabulary of 28% of respondents. The survey found 37% of this age group did not know that bonk was slang for sex and that a cad was a dishonourable man. Best-selling author Jilly Cooper, famed for her bonk busters, told The Times she feared plonk or wine would soon be forgotten too.
Have a glass of wine.
Do you know what? That lush is also on the list of words that have been forgotten. Henceforth, tosh, I can't use that anymore, swat, a brill, and kerfuffle. Oh, I like kerfuffle.
I like nincompoop.
Well, showing your age if you use those words, I guess. Oh,
it's a bit late for that, isn't it?
Disco as well. Oh, and minted.
I'm minted. Well, nobody says disco anymore.
Nobody says disco, yeah.
Mind you, we haven't got a clue what the under 30s are saying either, so. Well,
this is true.
Each to their own.